Okay, here's my question for you. What's your go-to when you can't sleep at night?
When I can't sleep?
Yeah, like if you're laying in bed and you're like, oh no, it's one of these nights.
This is going to sound so like, it's going to be a little eye-rolly. Like some stuff is like meditation things, you know? So I have some very specific meditation things that I practice. Some breathing stuff that would be super boring, but I also will just start saying the Book of Philippians to myself. So like that's something that's like some scripture I have memorized. So I'll just start chapter 1, verse 1 and just see how far I go until I'm asleep.
This didn't really happen for you. Except for maybe like last year.
Wait, were you setting me up?
No. I just
you
like
were setting me up.
I'm not. I promise. I realized I asked you the question and it wasn't like. For you, it's like, well, I just, you know, in 15 minutes, moving. I go to sleep. If I can't sleep.
If I physically stop moving, I will fall asleep.
Yeah, like, I realize
you
that's
were a, that
no,
was
I wasn't. I really wasn't, but, well, the reason I asked the question is we hosted two of our dear friends this past weekend,
yeah.
Devin and Reggie Rodriguez, and.
Massive shout out.
Yeah, Devin listens to our podcast. I don't know if Reggie
does. Do you
think
Reggie listens to this?
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly. But Devin's like the biggest... I don't want to say prankster. He's a pretty big prankster.
Yeah.
But he also is someone who will just straight up tell you a story and you're like, I don't know.
And he's making it up the whole
time.
Yeah,
like you're just like... And I know at this point to know like... I don't know if I believe you.
Well, isn't part of that because, as you've told me before, like Devin's entire life is kind of like a like Young Life program research project. Like he's constantly workshopping program.
Yeah, I don't know if that's intentional
things.
Though. I think like, he.
I'm breathing in and out, living my life. I'm gonna see which bits work.
Kind of. I don't know if he would back me up. I think he does listen to this. We'll probably get a text from him. He's like, no, that's not true, guys. That's not true. But
go Titans, Dev.
Anyways, I got up. We had like a really late night Sunday. We had a fantasy football draft.
Yeah.
We got in bed at, I don't know, like 12:30 or something like that. And I thought like, I'm going to get up at like 8 and go make everyone breakfast thinking that our housemates would have slept in a little bit or something. I don't know. And I like, Maddie was like, why are you getting up so early? And I was like, I'm going to go make everyone breakfast.
Tea and Maddie's breakfast in bed.
Yeah. And I like was like tiptoeing down the hallway and I got in the living room and Devin and Reggie were just sitting on the couch looking at me. And I was like, oof. And he like,
do you keep like, your house too hot at night? Were they,
we have ceiling fans and I think it's really nice, but I don't know the answer to that. But anyways, I was like, guys, why are you up? You know, which whatever, it wasn't that early, but it was a, you know, it was like a holiday. I thought we'd snooze a little bit, but I was like, why are you up? So, and like Devin had a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts and I was like, oh man, y'all already had breakfast. You already had coffee. What's going on?
Been out and back.
Yeah. And he was like reluctant to say this story to me. He was just like, oh, I know, like Reggie just went and grabbed it. Blah, 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 blah. That's what he also does that. Blah, blah, blah. But, anyways, he was like, okay, so here's what happened. And I was like, what? He's like, I couldn't sleep last night. And I was like, oh dude, I'm so sorry. That bed's so uncomfortable. He's like, no, I just couldn't sleep. He was like, it was 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. He's like, 2 a.m., I downloaded this game, tried to play it. It's like, I was trying to trick my eyes into going to sleep.
And he's like, PSA does the opposite. Well, your phone screen will wake you up.
Now you know, Devin. But he was like, 4 a.m., I finally just got up, put my shoes on, thought, I'm going to go for a walk. And just like...
in like a random residential neighborhood of a suburb.
In a town he doesn't live in anymore. Yeah. You know, like, he knows very well, but doesn't live in anymore. Like, ends up going on a 4-mile walk.
Unbelievable.
He made it to Dunkin' Donuts.
Like, he got his steps in for the next day.
Yeah, he made it to Dunkin' Donuts before they opened, which I didn't know that was a thing. Waited for them to open, got a coffee. He picked me 2 Muscadines from our old house. Because I walked into the kitchen.
He walked to the old house, he walked to the nest and got Muscadines off of your grapevine.
Yeah, I walked in and I saw 2 Muscadines sitting on the table and I was like, why are there muscadines? And he was just
manna from heaven.
He just like looked at me like I was weird, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And then he just like recounted the story, and he was like, I walked here and I walked here, and then they weren't open, so I walked here and I waited for them to open, and then I got a coffee, and then I walked here and I grabbed you some muscadines, and then I realized I was locked out of your house when I finally made it back. Oh, so I sat on the porch until Reggie got up. And then Reggie was like, yeah, I walked by the window and I realized he was sitting out there. So I opened the door.
I'll say this in D-Rod's defense. It's what you're supposed to do. Like if you can't sleep during the night, it's not a good idea to like to toss and turn and try to stress yourself out, forcing yourself to go back to sleep. Mm. You should go ahead and get up and do something. And then the idea is you get up, you do something, quiet your mind again, and then get yourself back to a place where you can go back to sleep.
Mm.
But not if you lock yourself out of the house where you're staying.
I think he ended up, it was like a 4-mile walk. And he just sat on our porch until somebody, we were like, dude, why don't you call somebody?
Is there at least a place in D-Rod that's like, it's a little Rocky Balboa to like get up before the sun and like, and be the one.
I guarantee you the thought that went through his mind was, what would Rocky do?
Yeah.
Just like.
It's dark outside. You're the only one up.
I like, guarantee you he had a hood on the whole time he
like
did it.
If he had like the bouncy ball, like the Rocky Balboa, like the rubber ball that he bounces, hood up.
Dev, if you did not have a hood on, I need you to let us know, because I guarantee you did.
I like the idea that D-Rod's guiding principle is, what would Rocky do?
What would Sylvester Stallone, in his opinion, the greatest actor of all time, do in this instance?
Yeah, just like it's like your main line in any movie is you're just pronouncing vowels.
Hey,
oh, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, he right now is like, okay, come on, guys. Come on. That's what Devin just said when we said that.
All right. It's tapped out. All right. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. If you can't sleep, don't listen to this podcast. It's far too interesting for you to be able to fall.
Or do.
Oh, definitely. No, you want to, yeah. We're going to talk about some scriptures that have been an encouragement to us or have been a challenge to us or whatever. And I realized I didn't open the Bible.
I'm ready.
You want to go first?
Yeah.
Please do.
I reckon, because I didn't bring a full-fledged Bible up here. Does it count if it's on your phone? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it counts.
Okay, just making sure for some of us. Okay, so one-year Bible Tom has been, you know, obviously working
speak
my way.
Speak of yourself in the third person?
Sometimes I do that. And I've just finished Nehemiah, which isn't a book that most people would normally just pick up and read.
Right.
And I think I've realized, why wouldn't you? It's cool. Like, the whole thing is top to bottom. Like, man, this is such a cool story. It's just a fun story, you know? Well, he just got up from his mic, so I need him to affirm what I'm saying.
Yes. I love Nehemiah. It's a really cool book, and there's, I think in any of these kind of Old Testament books that people don't dust off the pages of that often, there's going to be a couple of like smash hits.
You know,
you're going to find the verses that are, it's like I was just thinking about this because I've been listening to somebody being interviewed who was like a kind of a founding part of the Beastie Boys. But like when I was in high school, the Beastie Boys album that I resonated with the most, it has like 20 songs on it. One of the songs on there is the most famous Beastie Boys song ever. Mm. But then there's like some really, really great ones. And there's ones that nobody's ever listened to twice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's that way with any of these Old Testament books. Like you're reading it and you see it, you're like, I didn't know that smash hit Bible verse was in this Old Testament book right here. But like the cool thing with Nehemiah is just the, like zoom all the way out, the whole principle of the book, the whole kind of guiding thing of it is like, it's just such a cool little book, and it's such a cool concept.
Yeah. So Nehemiah is what country is he in? He's like serving a king in some country.
Yeah. They're all in Babylon.
They're in Babylon. Cause they're in the Babylonian captivity. Yeah. Which is so like, you it's funny because you, when you hear the word Nebuchadnezzar, you think obviously of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, yeah.
And Daniel. And yeah, and you, but like, oftentimes so far I've realized in these, I guess they're minor prophets, you get like you get little snapshots where you hear Nebuchadnezzar's name, and it's just, I'm always just like taken aback by it. It's so cool, you know?
It's almost like if, it's almost like one of those deals where 12 people watched, you know, like a car accident, mm-hmm. and you talk to them at different times, and it's like, tell me what you saw.
Yeah.
And so you get all these different perspectives.
It's so cool. So anyways, Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall because he finds out it's like in shambles.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. It like freaks out some of the other communities surrounding Jerusalem, but like, the, you know, he's just like gathering people to like work on parts of the wall, which I found out there's a place called the Dung Gate.
You got to, just they got to take it somewhere.
Yeah. They got to go somewhere with it, but it's just a beautiful thing. He asks the king, he's like, can I go do this? And the king's like, how long is it going to take you? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, go do it. And you know, he like writes him letters of recommendation to like get wood from, I guess, Lebanon, you know, like from the cedars, right, of Lebanon. It's just cool stuff. You know,
I always loved when you were in high school, I loved like, it's like, you know, your buddy Dave's brother, Cyrus. Mm-hmm. It's like, I always thought, man, it's so amazing. You don't meet a lot of kids named Cyrus, but it's like, that's the, you know, this is the king that says to Nehemiah and Ezra and these guys, like, go rebuild your city. But it's like, what a cool dude.
Yeah. Anyways, it's super cool. And then you get to the end. Well, I guess this is chapter 12 out of 13. And they're at the part where they're dedicating the wall. Like they finished it and
yeah,
all the Israelites, which there's just some like great moments in this where Nehemiah, like kind of, and like in the book of Ezra too, where it feels like they just like bring the Israelites like back to the Lord, kind of like they like recenter them for a second, you know, like, hey, this is where we are. Remember? And like,
this is who we are. This is what we do.
Yeah. And they're all like, and they all come together and they're like, you're right. We have like messed up for a long period. There's a couple times where Nehemiah and I believe Ezra, if I'm not mistaken, just like pray for the sin of the Israelites.
Yeah. And like just stand up and just read scriptures for
hours. Yeah. They do it for hours. Yeah. You know, they'll just like stand on the wall and they'll read. And like, and this is, you know,
old school audiobooks.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, it's just like, this is what we're going to do today. We are going to read, you know, at one point they say, like, we're going to read the book of Moses. And, like, this is what they did from, like, sunrise to sunset. And people, like, are falling on their face worshiping the Lord the whole time. And it's just, it's kind of where I'm at right here. I mean, this is where they, I guess this is a little bit different. But this is the part where they're dedicating the wall. And this is, right here, it says in verse 43 of chapter 12, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Mm. And it just, it's one of those things you said. It was a smash hit. Just the image. I was talking to someone the other day who he told me he'd never been to a concert. He was just like, hey, I've never been to a concert before.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I can't list the amount of concerts I've been to. Yeah, which
is your favorite thing.
Yeah. And so I was also explaining this the other day. I was listening to a live album with my wife, and I was explaining to her like why I think this is amazing. Like normally I'm like, give me the studio album. But a couple of times I'll like flip to a live album. And because there's moments where you are like, whenever you go to a concert and you look around, you realize like, I don't know a single person here. There's 20,000 of them. We have presumably nothing in common at all.
Right.
But at any given time, we're singing the exact same words together.
That's kind of fun.
You know, which is like also a cool thing about church, you know, like you're in a room with 200 people who you go do your own things during the week sometimes. And then at any given moment, you're singing the exact same thing to the exact same person.
And Christy took me to see Kirk Franklin in Nashville. And at one point he sat down at a piano and he started playing one of his songs that he released 25 years ago. Mm. And the crowd in the Skimmerhorn Symphony Hall in Nashville knew the lyrics and everybody started singing. And he didn't expect it. He thought, I'll show them some old song and we'll see how these young people do or whatever. But everybody knew the song. And he was like, you guys are killing me. He was like, all right, what about this one? And he kept, and everybody knew it. And he was like, oh, what about this one? And he kept like bringing out these just like ancient Kirk songs, and everybody knew him. And he like started, he started weeping at the piano. He was like so touched, but we were all just like singing along to the same song. It was so sweet.
such a cool thing. But I was tripped up by it. The idea that the people rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from far away. Wow. You know, like across the land, people were like, what is that? What is that noise? I wonder how many people came and was like, you know, had to figure it out. The other day I was eating lunch. It was yesterday. I was eating lunch at Aubrey's off Paper Mill. Sometimes I'll go there and just, you know, it's a cool place to sit down and eat, and they have unlimited bread. So it's kind of, I can get a salad and bread and eat for like $6. But I was sitting outside. I finished my meal and I like found a little park bench under some trees across the parking lot. And I went and sat.
Nice.
And I think a transformer blew down the road.
Wow.
And it was
it's a
really loud.
Yeah.
And it reverberated. And like, I wanted to figure out what it was. So I just like walked towards it. It was so weird. It could have been an explosion, but I like walked towards it. And I wonder if people around Jerusalem were just like, what is that noise?
Mm.
And they just walked up and they realized what was going on and they fell on their face praising Jesus. I just thought it was so cool. It was so sweet. The image of people rejoicing Jesus all together. It was sweet. The idea of these people who like for so long have done so many terrible things. They just constantly do terrible things. But the idea that they all came together and like Nehemiah gathered them up and like recentered them for a little bit before they went off and did the next terrible thing. But you know, for this little bit, they're just rejoicing God for all the joy that he gave them. And I love that. I love the idea that God is still giving them joy in the middle of their terrible sin over and over again. It's so fascinating. Cool. The concept of how these Old Testament stories come together and how sweet the Lord is in them.
Yeah.
He's just so sweet to him over and over and over again. And he has no reason to be. These people have no reason to be given joy from God, but he does. Yeah. So cool.
Okay. Whatever I was going to talk about before you started talking about Nehemiah, I'm pulling a ripcord. I want to talk more about Nehemiah. It's such a cool book. First of all, yeah, I'm just like, gosh, what to talk about? There's so many cool things. Nehemiah is like the cupbearer to the king, you know, Artaxerxes.
Yeah, is he like tastes the wine? Is that what, that's the thought I had, to make sure it's poison.
He's the Mr. Carson of...
That doesn't help me.
Yeah, oh, okay. You didn't watch the Downton Abbey?
No.
Okay. he's basically the butler. And the butler, in the old school sense, was not just like a servant to the king or the master of the house, but the person who was in charge of the wine cellar. They had the list. They knew what was down there. They would taste everything. Like, it wasn't the official taster, like, I'm going to taste this and make sure it's not poison. But like, in the sense, like the refined taster who's like, all right, is this the wine that goes best with this meal tonight and that kind of stuff? This is what we're serving up. But he would like literally hand the king his like goblet of wine and everything. Nehemiah had heard from one of his relatives, you know, like, dude, we're over here in Israel that, you know, like the Cyrus had given the Israelites the permission to like rebuild their temple and their city and everything, but it's like, it's not going well. Mm-hmm. And they've got these enemies from the surrounding places that are like, they're just not letting it happen and everything. Yeah. And so Nehemiah is just like, here I am literally standing next to the king. And he's like, and the king's like, looks at Nehemiah. He's like, what's wrong with you? Like you're so down in the dumps.
I know. It's so cool that you can just like, it's like you see him just longing for something, you know, like, yeah. And it's I like, you're going to make a SpongeBob analogy, like, but I'm so glad I didn't.
It's like Nehemiah's role is to like be chipper. You're in the presence of the king. Like put a smile on your face. This is your job, you know? But he's like, he can't mask it. King sees it. What's wrong with him? And he like, this is so cool. He like throws up a prayer real quick. He's like, should I go for it? Should I go for it? Mm. Lord, help me. And he's just like, how can I be happy when my city lies in ruins? Mm. And the king's just like, go rebuild it. Yeah. And he's like, for real? And he's like, go rebuild the wall. Go rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Mm. And it's so cool. So he like gets all these workers and everything. And the thing I want to specifically talk about is in chapter 4. So in chapter 4, like construction is going forward. There's all these people that are opposing the rebuilding of Jerusalem's city and Jerusalem's wall and everything. And like, and these guys are like some days they just come there and they just like talk smack all day long. This one dude is saying, like, Nehemiah is literally working on the construction. This one dude is like, get down here. I want to fight you. We want to stop you and everything. Nehemiah looks at this dude. He's like, I have work to do. I do not have time to come down and mess with you, which I'm like, it's just one of the coolest verses. Just such a great slapback. But in chapter 4, there's this thing that Nehemiah says. It says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. This is verse 16 of chapter 4. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. And this is such a cool picture. Not only is it a cool picture of just like this amazing and unique thing that happened, but like with my own spiritual life, there's like, it's okay. Especially in a time like coronavirus, it'd be easy to get lazy and drift. It'd be easy to just like, nothing's really happening right now. Ministry's not really happening the way it used to. I'm just going to like hunker down till this is over or whatever. But I love the kind of taking this as a spiritual picture and saying like, you know what? Even in a time where I'm feeling pressured, even in a time where I'm feeling on my back foot, even in a time where there's a lot of temptation and attack and stuff like that, like I've got to double down. I've got to not only build what I'm building, but I've got to defend my position. I'm going to hold a tool for the building of my spiritual life in one hand, and I'm going to hold a sword for my personal defense in another. Like some people are working, some people are fighting. And everybody is involved in this project and this process. And it's like, when I look at my own spiritual life, my own growth in Jesus, there's not an off day. Like I got to have, you know, the trowel for laying brick in one hand and a sword for defending myself against the enemy in another. It's like, we've got to stay on this work.
Yeah.
There's another really cool thing about Nehemiah where like, gosh, I just love this old book.
Yeah.
But like where there's a place where when they get everything done, like they just list like so-and-so did this part and so-and-so did this part and so-and-so did this part. And it's like a memorial forever of like, this is what I did for the kingdom of God, you know? And there's a beautiful thing in that. That's not like a braggy thing or anything like that, but it's just like, hey, when it comes to the advancement of the kingdom of God, I'm a part of this. My name is in the book. And it's like, I want that to, gosh, it's just getting me fired up. It's like, I didn't even know I was going to get fired up about this today, but you brought it. But like, there's just so many cool principles here of like staying at the work.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a book people need to read. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. Now I'm like, oh man, I think I'm going to read.
Yeah, go dust it off.
Yeah, it's before the Psalms. So like, if you've never read Nehemiah, open your Bible to the Psalms and take a left turn.
Yeah.
And
it's 13 chapters. You could presumably read it in one sitting. It's not super long.
Yeah. Or spread it out over the rest of the month of September and just read a chapter a day and figure out like, all right, I'm going to use this whole thing as a metaphor for me building my spiritual life. What do I learn out of this?
You know?
There's going to be enemies. There's going to be smack talk. There's going to be discouragement. There's going to be frustration. And we've got to stay at it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
By the way, what time does Dunkin' Donuts open up?
I think 5, which like, so the whole time I'm thinking like, I'm like in my head, I'm like, Maddie, don't get sucked in. he's lying. He's telling us a lie. Because it's happened so many times to me.
It's like he had a Dunkin' Donuts cup in his car and he like brought it in to tell the story.
This is exactly what happened. He had a Dunkin' Donuts cup in his hand.
Yeah.
And he showed me the timestamp on it.
Wow.
It was 5:10 a.m.
It's a real Devin Rodriguez story.
And then he showed me the map that he walked. That's the first thing he did. He showed me the map that he walked.
Air quotes.
And I was like, you could easily have made this up somehow. I don't know how, but you could have made it up. And then, but then he was like, he wasn't trying to prove, he wasn't like, I swear. He just was like, and he showed me the, like the receipt stamp on the thing. And it was like 5:10. It's like, okay, you did this.
This is legit.
Yeah.
Well, the next time you can't sleep, like just take a little trek to Dunkin'.
Yeah. Get some coffee and then try to go back to sleep. That's how that works, Devin.
download a game on your iPhone, get some coffee, and then try to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
I think that's the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Man. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for the text messages. By the way, every single week, Eric Rice sends me some gif about the fact that you're like yawning and trying to stay awake during this podcast.
That's what I was going to talk about. I prank called Eric Rice at work the other day. He'll come back next week.
Oh, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.